We continue our reading of the book of Romans today, turning to chapter 6. We will read verses 1 to 14. You'll find it in your pew Bible if you're using it on page number 1199. I find that I keep saying as we're reading through Romans, this is a really important passage, and this really is a really important passage. Paul's transitioning from justification to sanctification, and he's worried about a misapprehension because he's spoken very boldly about the great freedom we have in justification. In fact, he made the statement at the end of Romans 5 that where sin increased, grace increases all the more. But he doesn't want us to draw the conclusion, well, isn't sin great therefore? More grace, more sin. Let's just sin. We sin. He gives grace. And there's a sense in which that applies to justification. In fact, it does apply to justification. But some people, I dare say, even in our Reformed churches today, many people draw that conclusion. So we just sin, and it's great. And Paul's going to make the argument, you know, no actual Christian thinks that way because you've been born again. And here he's going to use the language that you'll hear from us now and again, the language of union with Christ. He's going to say we've been joined to Christ in his death and his resurrection. Now, union with Christ means it's the biblical teaching that when we have faith in the Lord Jesus, we have union with him, and it works out in two ways. There is a legal sense, we call it a forensic sense, which is our justification. He paid the penalty of our sins before God, and his righteousness is imputed to us. So union with Christ means justification through faith alone. But union with Christ also has a spiritual dimension. His spirit literally lives in me now, and I've been born again. I'm not the same person. And it's going to lead to my sanctification, and that's where he's getting here. And he makes the point, if you've been baptized into Christ, that's a way of speaking of union with Christ, you've been identified with him, then you have suffered a death. The death of Jesus to our sins. He's going to use that language. I wonder if we realize that. And then there's a new life corresponding to the open tomb. And he makes a great statement about Jesus that is intended to apply for us in verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So if you're a Christian, you have union with Christ in his cross and in his resurrection. You are dead to sin and alive to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. John Stott gave the illustration. If you become a Christian, then your life story has to be told in two books. And the first book ends with these words, and then he died in union with Jesus Christ when he believed. But the good news is a new book begins, and it says, and then she came alive and began to live unto God in a new life by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way Paul speaks. And therefore, in verse 11, he makes the first command of the book of Romans. The first imperative is, therefore, reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get it straight in your thinking that you're not the person you were. You're no longer, he says at the end. You're not under the dominion of sin. You're under the dominion of grace. Doesn't mean you don't sin, but you no longer have to. You're no longer powerless against sin. Get it straight in your head. You've died to the old life. Stop trying to live that way. You've died. You've come alive to a new life. My old pastor, James Boyce, would put it this way. He says, you know, some people, they're adults, but they act childishly. And the Bible commends a childlike faith, but not a childish faith. And it says when there's an adult who's acting in a childish way, it's really just embarrassing. It's inappropriate. And in the same way, for a Christian to act like he or she is still a sinner, Paul says, just get it in your head. That's no longer right. It doesn't make sense. It's not who you are. I want to tell you, you're not going to do it well. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're not going to have as much fun as you would have before. It's going to lead to inward pain. And so just get it in your head. Look, I'm dead to sin. I've been born again to life. And you go, well, give me a practical outworking of it. You get that in verses 12 and 13. Let sin, therefore, not reign in your body. Offer the members of your body, your body parts, not as acts of unrighteousness, but of righteousness. Offer your eyes no longer to sin. Don't look at things you shouldn't be looking at. Offer your eyes to the word of God and to wholesome and godly things. Offer your mouth no longer to tear down, but to build up. no longer to speak foully, but sweetly in a spiritual way. Offer your feet to God, saying, you know, my feet are not going to take me into places I have no business going. They're going to take me into the house of the Lord, and my hands no longer to sin, but to do good. Reckon yourself. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? You have union in his death. You're dead to sin. But praise be the Lord, you have union in his life. You are alive to God for righteousness. What could be better? Well, with those things being said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. Romans 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.